Gabrick to Kopitar. To Gabrick, who scores! Oh, it doesn't get any better than that.
The action on the ice might be over,
but we're just getting warmed up.
It's time for the Los Angeles Kings post-game show, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Morongo, good times.
Toffoli to the net, shoots, and scores!
With a full recap, highlights, scores from around the league, and your stars of the game, here are John Rosen and Darrell Evans.
Welcome back, hockey fans. We'll go downstairs to Darrell Evans in just a moment here, but the L.A. Kings had a 3-0 lead late in the second period, unable to hold on to it as Winnipeg scores three times in regulation to tie it up. And then Mark Scheifele scores the overtime, or I should say the shootout game winner, and wins 4-3 in front of 18,449. Are we good to go downstairs yet? Not yet. We're still standing by here. Of course, fan appreciation night and the jerseys off their backs. A little bit of a pause here before we go downstairs towards Darrell Evans. So we'll give you tonight's three stars right now at this point. Number three star from the L.A. Kings, defenseman Luke Shen. Shen, a physical presence here this evening. And in his 22 minutes and 12 seconds of ice time, he finished a plus three on the night, dished out six hits, and also blocked three shots. Number two star of the game, Blake Wheeler for the Winnipeg Jets. Wheeler tonight. Are we good to go? Number two star of the game, Blake Wheeler, and the number one star of the game, Tanner Pearson. More news and notes on those two players in just a moment here, Kings fans. But first, we're going to go downstairs to Darrell Evans, who's standing by with a special guest. Darrell.
Thanks a lot, John. I'm still waiting for the Kings to open up their locker room here. I'm sure that coaching staff addressing the team a little bit on, you know, tonight's game, just kind of maybe a quick little recap on the season. But, you know, I think the Kings, you know, as a group, you know, they've got a few days now to think about things. Tomorrow at some point, tomorrow night at some point, they'll understand who they're going to play against. So the next 24 hours, they will not know that. So the coaching staff won't be able to make that preparation. But you know, I think the Kings as a team have to kind of, you know, take a look at, you know, what happened in tonight's game. And again, don't want to put too much upon it. You know, I thought they played real solid at the beginning of the game, but twice against this team in the last few weeks, the Jets on a late goal in the second period were able to turn the tides in the game and turn both those games into victories.
Yeah, it was a challenge here tonight. The Kings did have their opportunities, their avid chances over the course of the season. But, you know, the question has been, and you talk about it with the players, are they playing their best hockey heading into the playoffs? Really, for the first 28, 30, 32 minutes of this game, combined with the Ducks game, the answer to that was yes. Where do you feel that the Kings stand after the last couple of games heading into what will be a playoff series against either San Jose or Nashville?
Well, again, the game the other night against Anaheim, you know, you don't want to put too much upon that. Both teams were missing some personnel that we'll see when the postseason starts. I thought they did some good things. One of the things that I really liked was the way they were able to lock down their game, the defensive structure that they played with, and the complete 60 minutes that they played with. I thought they played with discipline. They stayed connected in five-man units, moving the puck through all three zones, and, you know, it didn't take a lot of offense to be able to, you know, to win that game. And, you know, tonight they got away from it. You know, in the early part of the game, the first half, they did a good job. They let Winnipeg get their legs going. And, you know, this is a team that they've got a lot of speed. You know, their top line coming into action tonight, Wheeler had points in 10 straight. Scheifele had points in 9 straight, both career high for those guys. And they figured on the score sheet and were the reason that the Jets were able to get themselves back into the game and eventually win it in the shootout. So, again, a little bit of adjustments, mental breakdowns. You know, Kings did have a couple of opportunities, but, you know, it's one of those things. You don't want to dwell too much upon it now. You know, you know, Anaheim wins their game tomorrow, then, you know, it's going to hurt for a little bit. But the Kings right now know it's going to be one of two teams, and they'll have to get themselves prepared. Both teams, I think, they feel very confident in playing against in the first round.
Daryl Sutter also talks about quite a bit about one of the keys towards finding that success in the playoffs is having your star players going for you and being productive. When you look at players like Anje Kopitar, when you look at Drew Doughty, Jeff Carter, up and down this roster, Milan Lucic, where do you kind of gauge it, where those guys stand at after they emerge from a stretch in which there weren't exactly a ton to play for, at least and nothing really as tangible after having clinched that playoff spot, but having ramped it up again over the final week of the season?
Yeah, and I think for all those players, not to say that there's a switch that you can just, you know, turn on and find and take your game to the next level. You know, you want to try to remain as consistent as you can. I think Daryl Sutter, along with the coaching staff, we saw Drew Doughty's minutes probably come back, quite a bit, over the last little bit. The guys up front, not necessarily double shifting them as much. I think there were, parts of different games that different guys were, used in different situations. And, I think Daryl Sutter, was able to answer, maybe a couple of questions that he had. And, that being, the play of guys like Andy Andrioff, Kyle Clifford, Chris Versteeg, the roles that they might play as they move forward into this next series. And, some of it will depend upon who they play against. The Nashville Predators, a little bit more of a run and gun. If it's San Jose, could be a little bit more of a physical series. So I think those are some of the things that, Daryl Sutter and the coaching staff were able to take a look at and, get some answers towards. And joining me right now, I've got Luke Shen here. Luke, not the results you were looking for, your team, especially after building the 3-0 lead. What was the feeling in that locker room after that game?
Well, I mean, it's inexcusable as far as, blown a lead like that. Obviously, we knew that, Winnipeg's got no quit in them, and they showed that tonight. They came at us and kind of turned the momentum of the game. Probably the last second half, we were on our heels a little bit, and a little bit too much standing around, a few too many turnovers, and that's what happens. The puck ends up in the back of your net. So, they fought hard. They played well. They got a lot of young guys out there with a lot of speed and guys trying to prove themselves, but it's inexcusable on our end that, we got to be a lot better and be able to walk those leads down. And now we'll wait and see what happens to see who we play here going into, the first round.
When you look at the beginning of the game where the team built a 3-0 lead, it seems like you guys were in complete control. A little reminiscent of what happened a couple of weeks ago in Winnipeg. Lead wasn't as large. You had a 1-0 lead late in the second period. They scored that goal that carried on momentum for them in the third. It got two quick ones there, but tonight, not just a one goal late in the second period. They were able to capitalize, get another one, get themselves within one, and that seemed to energize them, and they evened it up early in the third.
Yeah, I mean, you got to tighten it up there as far as, having, they get one there, then they get, another one with, I think, probably a minute left in the second period there. And, I think we did the same thing. I think it might have been the Vancouver game or something like that where we gave up a couple late goals, in periods, and that kind of deflates you a little bit. But in saying that, we had the lead going into the third period, and you're still in a good position to be up 3-2. And third period, they hemmed us in for a lot of time. I don't think we had much zone time in their end. And, we were on our heels. And if it weren't for Quickie, the second half of the game, they could have fought it a few more on us.
And as you look at the playoffs that are going to start at some point next week, knowing that it's going to be one of two teams, whether it's going to be the Nashville Predators or San Jose Sharks, without taking a look at the opponent, where do you feel your team, what elements of the game do they need to fine-tune in preparing for that first playoff game?
Well, I think a lot of things. I mean, I think that we had a pretty strong game against Anaheim. So, we know that it's in here and we know that we can do that. Obviously, we haven't played great hockey up until that game. And, we played pretty good that game. So, just kind of getting back to that, I think moving the puck quick, everyone moving their legs and, fighting for opportunities in front of their net and bearing down on our chances. And obviously, special teams is going to be big in the series as well, too.
And when you look at the last couple of weeks, eight games in the last 15 days, I believe, not a lot of practice time for your team, but the coaching staff, I'm sure, is probably happy. And I'm sure probably you guys as a team as well, you get a couple of days now to kind of go through some, some repetitions on the ice and kind of fine-tune things, whether it's breakout, forechecks, and work the specialty teams to get your game at its highest level when you start.
Yeah, at this point, obviously, not start until I think, we don't know who we're playing yet, but I think the series is going to start on Thursday. So it gives us a little bit of time here to recover and rest and obviously go over, whichever team, we're going to play and go over their tendencies and stuff. But in saying that, we get a little bit of rest and we get to, hit hard for a couple of days here leading into the series and get some practice in and work on, the things that we need necessary. So I think, obviously we'd like to get the 2 points tonight and we still don't know who we're playing, but time to turn the page here and everyone be positive here and look forward to, a fresh start in a new season here in the postseason.
Appreciate your time, Luke. Get some rest and good luck to you and your teammates as we start the playoffs later on in the week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Johnny, back up to you.
Thanks so much, Daryl. And again, turning our attention back to the three stars of the game. Number two star of the game, as we had noted earlier, was Blake Wheeler. Now an 11-game point streak that equals a franchise high that had been set by Marian Hossa back when he was an Atlanta Thrasher. And for the LA Kings, the number one star of the game here this evening is Tanner Pearson. Who had that early goal. Pearson on the night finished with one goal, minus one rating in 15 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time. Six total shot attempts, two of which were on goal. We're going to take a break here, Kings fans. Come back in just a moment with the Rusnak Pasadena Audi highlight. So stay tuned. More to come here on Talk Radio 790 KABC and the Kings Radio Network, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
If April showers bring May flowers, then this El Nino might cover us in flowers.
Your top reasons to visit Morongo.
Don't miss our $25,000 Uncle Sam refund giveaway, April 14th.
Number two.
You could win a BMW Z4 every Sunday in April.
And the number one reason to go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this week.
Yahoo ranked Morongo as the number one casino in Southern California.
Morongo, good times.
Blocking a puck traveling 100 miles an hour takes incredible skill and talent. But you know what takes even more skill and talent? Developing life-saving treatments and surgeries that doctors at Children's Hospital Los Angeles perform every year for thousands of sick kids right here in L.A. So please, join the Kings in supporting life-saving care and research at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. So if you live L.A., give L.A. Make a donation at chla.org/kings. That's chla.org/kings.
It's time to save and South Bay Toyota.
If you want an easy way to buy a car, then South Bay Toyota is the place for you. They're located in the heart of L.A. South Bay, just off the 405 freeway at the Western Avenue exit, one block north. And when you buy direct from them, you won't have to pay those broker fees. So come to South Bay Toyota and experience the best customer service, and they'll have you out in less than 1 hour. And always remember,
it's time to save at South Bay Toyota.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF.
Welcome back, hockey fans. Final score 4-3. Winnipeg defeating the LA Kings in a shootout in front of 18,449 here at Staples Center. Let's jump right into the highlights here as LA scoring the first three goals of the game, the first of which came midway through that first period. Coughlin battling for the puck. Sent up along the boards near side as Carter now battles. Sends it now to Brown. Brown back to Carter. Dishes. Score! Tyler Toffoli on a beautiful feed. And that was Toffoli's 31st of the season from Carter and Brown at 9:18 of the first period. Jeff Carter might have gotten away with a little bit of a trip there on Blake Wheeler. I was actually surprised to see Wheeler follow the officials all the way over to the semicircle and then step into the semicircle most likely opine that he felt that he had been either tripped or interfered with before Carter dished that puck across the low slot over to Tyler Toffoli, who buried it for his 31st goal of the year. Again, Toffoli from Carter and Brown. Just over 4 minutes later, the Kings were able to double their lead. Muzzin now up to Kopitar. Left side of the ice to Lucic. Cross-ice feed. Here's Pearson down low. Alone. Deke scores! Beautiful play with streaking Tanner Pearson. Goes backhand to forehand. Slips it between the legs of the goaltender Pavlik. And the Kings lead it 2-0. Pearson's 15th from Lucic and Kopitar at 13:29 there of that first period. And that assist from Milan Lucic. He was able to tie his career high in assists. That was his 35th of the year, the third time that he has recorded 35 assists in one season. Also, by the way, with his assist on Tyler Toffoli's goal, Jeff Carter tied his career high in assists at 38. Last time he did that was 2008-2009 when he was with the Philadelphia Flyers. It was 2-0 after first period of play. In that first period, the Kings outshot the Jets by a count of 13-7. Then, early on in the second period, the Kings were able to widen their lead. The puck now back behind the Winnipeg net, trying to walk out in front for Steve Henry. Pass, score, Andreev! Trying to go far post over to Clifford. We'll see who got the actual credit for that goal, but Andreev, with that wraparound attempt, looks like he was able to beat Andre Pavlik, and the Kings now lead 3-0. It was indeed Andreev, his eighth of the year, unassisted at 6:05 of that second period. The Kings, though, unable to get out of that second period. Two late goals from the Winnipeg Jets, and that was the big difference in this game. First one came with 2 minutes and 54 seconds remaining. First one there, though, is going to be Armia. Cycled down low. Patan, as he battles, now behind the net. Wraparound opportunity. Save made. Rebound. Score. And crashing the net, that was Andrew Kopp, it looked like. And the Jets able to get on the scoreboard here. It's now a 3-1 game. Kopp seventh from Patan and Armia at 17:06 of that second period. And the Jets, with pressure in the offensive zone and their top line going, able to get a very big goal in the final minute of the second period. Ehlers brings it down low, centering feed, one-time shot, score! Nikolai Ehlers on the one-timer at the end of a long shift by the Kings line. And now Winnipeg, with two late goals here in the second period, trails 3-2. That was Ehlers' 15th from Wheeler and Burmistrov. That came at 19:19 of the second period. Kings led 3-2 after two shots on goal in that second. For the Kings, 9 for a two-period total of 22. And for the Jets, 13 for a two-period total of 20. That led into the third period. And the Kings unable to hold on to that 3-2 lead, as once again, Winnipeg's top line able to get on the scoreboard early on. Old Atlanta Thrashers into the offensive zone, centering feed, shot, and score. Blake Wheeler on the entry into the LA Kings' end, and this game is tied up at 3. Wheeler's 26th from Scheifele and Ehlers, just putting it underneath the glove of Jonathan Quick, against the grain just a little bit. That came at 3:21 once again of that third period, and that was it for the third period of play, in which the Kings registered 6 shots on goal for a three-period total of 28, and for the Jets, 8 for a three-period total of 28 as well. No scoring in overtime. The Jets did have a man advantage in that extra session, unable to convert on the 4-on-3. Huge save late by Jonathan Quick as well. Once it developed into a 4-on-4 overtime session, and that set the stage for the very end of the shootout, as the only player to score was Mark Scheifele. And here comes Scheifele again, 1-for-2. Scheifele, right-handed shot, comes out wide to his left, now straight away. Scheifele shoots and he scores! Quick got a piece of it, but Scheifele able to put it past him. And that stood up as the shootout game winner, as Winnipeg emerges with a 4-3 shootout win, as for the Kings. Stopped in the shootout on Jay Kopitar, Jeff Carter, and Tyler Toffoli. Didn't help that they were without the services in the shootout for the first time this year of Marion Gaborik. Gaborik earlier this year, 2-for-2 in shootouts for the LA Kings. So we're going to take a break here. Thanks again for tuning in here to the Rusnak Pasadena Audi highlights. Want to get you quickly back over to Kings Talk, the call-in show with Nick and Daryl right after this. One more segment coming up here, Kings fans, on Talk Radio 790 KABC and the Kings Radio Network, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
If April showers bring May flowers, then this El Nino might cover us in flowers.
Your top reasons to visit Morongo.
Don't miss our $25,000 Uncle Sam refund giveaway, April 14th.
Number two.
You could win a BMW Z4 every Sunday in April.
And the number one reason to go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this week.
Yahoo ranked Morongo as the number one casino in Southern California.
Morongo, good times.
Oh, we told you we're changing things up at McDonald's. You can finally get breakfast all day. Burgers you can customize the way you want. Order for Max?
Thanks.
Enjoy. Not a believer yet, huh? Well, hang tight. We got something else that might surprise you. Breakfast bowls. Boom. They're loaded with egg white, turkey sausage, kale, and spinach. Or try a scrambled egg and chorizo bowl. Each for just $4.39.
Hey, I'll have a breakfast bowl.
Yeah, you will. We're changing things up. So come, see for yourself. Price and participation may vary. Breakfast bowl served during breakfast hours only.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and I'm calling to give you a random act of helpfulness.
Oh, that would be lovely.
We heard you work with an animal shelter. How many animals do you have there?
Right now, we have about 100 dogs, everything from chihuahuas to mastiffs.
That's a lot of dogs. Who walks them?
We have volunteers. We also used to have a doggy treadmill to exercise some of the more muscular dogs, but our treadmill broke.
Well, the Southern California Honda dealers want to help. We'd like to get you a brand new dog treadmill.
Oh, my goodness. That's just remarkable. Thank you so much.
Today we helped walk some dogs, and during the Honda Dream Garage sales event, we can help you with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the Accord, the best-selling midsize car in California. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful Honda dealer near you. Maggie's a real person and was paid to be on the radio. Based on IHS Automotive, Polk, California, new retail, non-luxury traditional midsize car registrations for calendar year 2015.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
The home of Kings Hockey. 790 KABC.
Welcome back, hockey fans. And thanks again for tuning in here on the post-game show here. And we're going to go through this pretty quickly as we can when there are 15 games in the National Hockey League here on the out-of-town scoreboard. And we want to get you back over to King's Talk. First, the big one, the Boston Bruins losing at home 6-1 to the Ottawa Senators. The playoffs on the line, unable to come away with a win. They led 1-0 after one, then six unanswered goals for Ottawa. So that opened the door for the Detroit Red Wings to get into the playoffs, as even though the Red Wings lost 3-2 on the road to the New York Rangers, they get in. And the Philadelphia Flyers, the 3-1 win at home over the visiting Pittsburgh Penguins, and two goals from Wayne Simmonds in that game. He now is 32 in the year. The Flyers also in the playoffs. So the Bruins out, Red Wings, and the Flyers, they're both in. Elsewhere, Canadiens 5-2 win at home over the visiting Tampa Bay Lightning. Maple Leafs fall in New Jersey by a score of 5-1 as their season ends. The Florida Panthers 5-2 win over the visiting Carolina Hurricanes. And the Columbus Blue Jackets rally for a 5-4 overtime win over the visiting Chicago Blackhawks. Moving now out west, Anaheim Ducks 5-3 win on the road at the Colorado Avalanche as they remain within striking distance of the Kings. And tomorrow, Anaheim will be able to win the division with any type of a win, regulation win, overtime win, any type of a win. If that game goes to overtime and Anaheim loses in a shootout or in overtime, then the Kings win the division. If Anaheim loses in any other fashion, in regulation, the Kings win the division as well. Continuing on, the Flames, 2-1 winners on the road at Minnesota. Elsewhere, Capitals, 5-1 winners on the road at the St. Louis Blues, as Alex Ovechkin had a hat trick in that game, and Braden Holtby tied Martin Brodeur's win mark. So the Anaheim Ducks are going to get backup goaltender Philip Grubauer tomorrow as both teams travel back to Washington, D.C. for tomorrow's game. Buffalo Sabres, 4-3 overtime winners on the road on Long Island. Brian Gionta, scores twice in that one. Dallas Stars, 3-2 winners at home over the visiting Nashville Predators. And the Canucks, 4-3 shootout winners home over the visiting Edmonton Oilers. San Jose also wins at home, 1-0 win, as Martin Jones posts a 20-save shutout. Joe Pavelski, the game's only goal, came in the third period. His 38th of the season in that one. Want to say a big thank you to everybody who helped put this broadcast together. A big thank you to Jose Fernandez and Luis Segura back in our KABC 790 studios. Big thank you as well on hand to John Traconis, our on-site technician. Big thank you as well to Daryl Evans. Meanwhile, Daryl and Nick are standing by. I'm John Rosen. It's been a pleasure throughout this regular season to be able to call these games for you. We'll be back in the playoffs as Daryl and I will be broadcasting round one. And any playoff series after that, Nick Nixon will take you through the remainder of the way. And let's hope it's a long ride here, Kings fans. Thanks again for tuning in on this Saturday night. Kings Talk is next. Have a great night, everybody.
The Los Angeles Kings postgame show, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Morongo, good times, is now over. But the Kings' quest to reclaim their throne is far from over. Be sure to tune in next time as the Kings go for 3 cups in 5 years on your home for Kings Hockey. Talk Radio 790 KABC and the Kings Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
GEICO applauds your inner park ranger.
Mother Nature appreciates the part of you that knows the difference between the red-bellied and the three-toed woodpecker. GEICO also has specialized agents who admire your gusto for the great outdoors. Agents who help with more than just car insurance. These GEICO agents can insure the RV that will take you and the whole family cross-country. The RV that makes National Forest synonymous with Happy Place. So what are you waiting for? 180 types of woodpeckers are ready to be identified.
GEICO for your RV. See how much you could save.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta home delivery gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
Black Friday savings in the spring? You'll find them now at the Home Depot, like Earth Grow mulch with a 1-year color guarantee. Right now, get 5 bags for just $10. Red, brown, or black. There's more color in it, so you get more out of it. For up to 12 months, guaranteed. Who says there's nothing new under the sun? Not us. Earth Grow mulch, 5 bags, $10. The next generation of spring Black Friday savings, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 13th, while supplies last. Selection varies by store.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Today, we'll be making our very own bath beads. We'll need mineral oil, ammonia, and gosh, I feel like I'm forgetting something.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you, you're just asking to get burned.
Oh, look at that. It also works as a hair remover.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The final horn is blown and the fat lady is singing. But you're just tuning in?
Gee willikers, did I miss the match, eh?
Yes, but after every Southern California broadcast, Nick and Daryl are doing a little overtime of their own. It's Kane's Talk. Heard exclusively on 790 KABC, covering all things Kings and taking your calls at 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. Call in now with your thoughts and comments on tonight's game and be a part of the show. Kings Talk with Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans starts now.
And hi again, everybody. We're back here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge at Staples Center, where the Kings and Jets have wrapped up their regular season play. The Jets rallying for the shootout win after falling behind 3-0. Tyler Toffoli, Tanner Pearson, Andy Andrioff giving the Kings the lead. But then 2 goals late in the second, 1 early in the third, made it a brand new game. We went to the shootout. Shifley the only goal scorer, and Winnipeg wins it by a score of 4-3. Anaheim won earlier today in Colorado. So right now the Kings have a 1-point lead over the Ducks, who play in Washington tomorrow, a makeup game. So the bottom line is Anaheim has to win the division. If they don't get more than 1 point, the Kings will win the division because of the tiebreaker. And, Darrell, it's going to be interesting to see how Washington approaches that game because the Capitals have already clinched the best record, not only in the East but in the NHL. Ovechkin got three goals tonight for 50.
Yep.
Holtby, the goalie, got his 48th win to tie Brodeur's NHL record. So will they play tomorrow? You'd like to think that Barry Trotz would put out the best team possible, but doesn't necessarily mean he has to. So it'll be interesting.
It will, and you know, I just think from the standpoint, you look at what Holtby has accomplished and what the Capitals have done as a team, that I think they want to go into the postseason. They don't want to go in there, you know, not to say that it would be on a down note. If they could go in there on a positive note, I'm sure some of the guys were laboring, had some injuries and things like that. But, you know, Alexander Ovechkin, getting three goals tonight, that really took a lot out because, you know, if he had 49, that would be something that he would really be shooting for tomorrow. So I think the big thing is try to go establish that new mark for a goaltender, and that's Holtby winning his 49th game. Now, whether or not everybody buys in to say, hey, that's not what we're here for, we're here to win the Stanley Cup, only time will tell. But I think the guys that are in the lineup, whether it's the full contingent or not, you're still going to get a real solid effort. This has been a team that's taken a lot of pride in the way that they played this year.
Yeah. Philadelphia won. Wayne Simmons, two more goals. 32 goals this year for Wayne Simmons, a career year. So Philadelphia gets in as a wild card. Boston is eliminated. Detroit, Darrell, loses their final two games of the regular season, but they will finish third in the Atlantic Division. So that's 25 straight years in the playoffs for Detroit. I guess they don't ask how, but yep, just that you're in there. So that playoff streak, the longest active streak of that sort in the NHL, will continue. We mentioned it earlier on the TV broadcast tonight. Congratulations to North Dakota. They beat Quinnipiac for the NCAA Frozen Fury Men's Hockey Championship in Tampa Bay. 5-1 was the final. Brad Berry, in his first year as head coach, wins an NCAA championship. North Dakota, of course, Matt Green's alma mater. All right, 800-222-5222. Kings Talk here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. Still don't know. The Kings will open up at home. The Lakers, I know, are here on Wednesday night, so it's not going to be Wednesday. And I think the league likes the series to start either Wednesday or Thursday. So it looks like probably game one will be here Thursday. I don't know if it'll be Nashville. I don't know if it'll be San Jose, but certainly could almost put money that it would be on Thursday. Dallas won. They clinched the Central Division. So Dallas will play Minnesota in round one. St. Louis will play Chicago. And still up in the air, the California teams and Nashville. That'll be determined with the Anaheim game tomorrow. We mentioned Washington. The only thing I think in the East is the Islanders and the Rangers are battling for third place.
Yep.
Right now, they are tied in points. Rangers are done. So if the Islanders get 1 point tomorrow, they'll finish third. And the Rangers would finish fourth. And the Rangers would get Florida in the first round. All right, trivia time. Who is the first player to score 100 points in an NHL season? The first player to score 100 points in an NHL season, 800-222-5222. Scott was at the game. He'll start it off tonight on the show. Kings Talk on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I was at the game tonight. And, you know, it's funny. Whenever there's a loss, how you walk out of the building and you just hear the rumblings of your fellow fans. And, you know, some of it is just mildly annoying. And then the rest of it borders on the supremely ridiculous, such as, you know, when are we going to trade Quick? Or, you know, Jake Muzzin has no business being on the team, et cetera, et cetera. Well, tonight it was, you know, mildly annoying. It was fans walking out, you know, expressing disgust at the fact that the Kings aren't going to win the Pacific Division title, which last time I checked is still up for grabs tomorrow night. And whether it does or doesn't happen, it really doesn't matter to me because, look, you know, here's a team that you knew coming in tonight is going to have one of two teams come and face them at home and have home ice advantage for the first time in the playoffs in their last 2 to 3 Stanley Cup runs. So, you know, I'm not worried about that at all. But all that Winnipeg did tonight was put together two good periods And, you know, congratulations. You guys get the rest of the summer off, you know. So the only thing I would say is it just looked to me like when the Kings were on the gas tonight, they were getting the job done. But when they weren't laying out the, you know, laying any hits on the boards or anything like that, they slowed down. Well, it's hard to neutralize a team like Winnipeg that's got so much speed. But I have to think that that's going to change. And, you know, my question to you guys is, you know, in the back of, Daryl anyway, in the back of your mind, is that something that, you know, you come in tonight and you have a job to do, obviously. But really, in the back of your mind, knowing what kind of a grind the playoffs really is, and we certainly witnessed that in the 2014 Stanley Cup run. You know, I mean, I was burned out by the time that whole thing was over, and I never set foot on the ice, you know. So knowing that, you know, there's, you still got a lot of gas left in the tank, and now's the time to start spending it, you know, starting next Thursday. Is that something that, you know, maybe some of the Kings might have been thinking about coming in tonight? Like, look, it really doesn't matter, and all we're really trying to do now is just kind of get ourselves set up to make this long run into, you know, the rest of April, May, and June. Well, I don't have an answer for the trivia question, guys. I'll be happy to take your comments off the air. Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Well, thanks, Scott. You know, when you make that comment, you look at the way the Kings played the game, let's say for the first 30 minutes, building himself a 3-0 lead. I thought that they let the game get away from them. And in that 30 minutes, they didn't do anything extra special out there. They just played Kings hockey. They were physical, but not overly physical. All four lines were on the ice. All six defense were involved. Jonathan Quick wasn't extremely busy. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago in Winnipeg, play late in the second period allowed the Jets to be able to get themselves back in the game. They scored a goal, I think, with about a minute or so left on that in the game in Winnipeg. Then two quick ones to start the third period. Tonight, it was two at the end of the second period, an early one in the third. Kings just didn't keep their foot on the gas. And Luke Shen, you know, he said it was disappointing. I mean, that's something that you've got to, you know, you've got to shut down. And, you know, when you build a 3-0 lead, again, it's not a matter of winning or losing. It's the fashion that the game got away from the Kings. You know, this is a team that's been notorious for being a shutdown team, not giving up goals late in a hockey game. And so, they, you know, they've got to take a look at this one and, you know, really take a look moving forward as to, you know, what they have to do. Because, again, this is not going to have much of an effect on, you know, regardless of where they're going to play in the standings, you know, who they're going to play. That's not the big issue. It's the matter of the Kings playing the game the right way when the postseason starts later in the week.
And I almost wonder if the focus tonight was not on, you know, putting the pressure on to win a division and winning the game, would have been, let's try and go out and win the Jennings Trophy and give up the fewest goals, which is a team award. Daryl Sutter, obviously, and a lot of coaches love the team concept, anything that revolves around team, and the Kings very much in it in that regard until, well, they get four against them, so unless it's a real high-scoring game. The other two teams that they're battling with for the Jennings are Washington and Anaheim. So unless that's like a 5-4 game tomorrow, the Kings kind of put themselves out of the running for that. So we were talking about that on the TV side, Daryl. I almost wonder if that was maybe a rallying point for, you know, hey, let's get this award. We won it in 2014, and it means everybody has chipped in.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, that's what this team has been all about. And, you know, when they were put together, that everybody chip in. They've taken so much pride in the defensive part of their game. And, you know, again, to see it slip away in the fashion that it did, they were doing so well defensively, offensively. They scored three goals. And this is a team that when they do get three goals in a game, they shouldn't lose too often. And then when you put on top of it that they had the lead by three goals, that kind of magnifies it a little bit more. So, yeah, you know, it is disappointing to see that slip away, because this was a chance for them tonight to collectively as a group make a statement and, you know, go out and achieve something that would have involved everybody buying into it.
Well, in overtime, the Jets started the big line. No defensemen. They had three forwards out there. The Kings had Kopitar, Doughty, and Carter, which we see start most overtimes this year. And Kopitar got around, I think it was Scheifele, to walk in on Pavlik. He had the game on his stick, but Pavlik came up with a big goal. So Kopitar scores there. We're not having a lot of these discussions. 800-222-5222. Kings Talk on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Glenn was at the game. He's next up on the show. Hi, Glenn. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great, thanks.
Yeah, I was at the game. It was a little disappointing not to see them pull that off. I agree with a lot of what Scott had said. Some of the games I've either watched or gone to, they seem to run out of steam in that third period, whether they're winning or losing. I think that's just a little notorious for them. But I have full confidence in this team of making a big run, hopefully get that third cup for us. My main question is, after we were 2-0, there was a goal that should have counted, at least I thought, and a bunch of the people that I was in section 332 were wondering why that wasn't under review. It looked like a goal. The one replay they showed, it looked like there was a little white ice there behind that puck between the red line there, and it looked like it went over, but nothing was really talked about.
So yeah, I know exactly.
What do you guys know about that?
Well, I know exactly because where the replay that they showed in the building took place from, center ice camera going to its left, was almost the same view that we had in the press box. And when I first saw it, I said, this puck looks like it might be in. You probably didn't see the camera over the net, which we saw on the TV side, and obviously the NHL sees. The puck never came close to being completely over the goal line. If you see that view, you would say, oh, yeah, you're right. It was the right call. The puck did not completely cross the goal line. Glenn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing because I saw what you saw, and I was watching the building, the big board here at Staples first before I saw the replay monitor overhead on the TV monitor, and it was kind of an illusion that the puck, there's white between the puck and the goal line, but when you see the over-top camera and that goal line straight down, it wasn't even close, really.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Nick. Hey, go Kings go, and Kings fans out there, don't worry.
Yeah,
this
Glenn.
This is a Stanley Cup team.
There
thank
you
very
go.
Much.
There you go. Glenn, don't go yet. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Here's our question. Who was the first player to score 100 points in an NHL season? Any idea?
I'm going to take a long shot just because he's a great scorer, but maybe Wayne Gretzky?
Incorrect. Wayne Gretzky was not the first to do it. 800-222-5222 are at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. We have the ice crew helping out Keegan and Athena. Thank you, ladies. And we have with us, who do we have with us?
Kirk.
Kirk, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How
good.
Are you?
Good. What's up?
All right, so question for you. In terms of the playoffs, who do you see as the potential sleepers coming out of both the Eastern Conference and the West?
You know, that's tough because there are so many good teams that are in both conferences that could go a long way. Years ago when you had matchups between a first-place team and a fourth-place team and the difference was 40 points or 30 points in the regular season, you could say, well, this for sure is the underdog team. But I don't know. I'm looking at the West. We keep talking about St. Louis every year. Yeah. Is this the year they're going to get deep into the playoffs? And now they get Chicago in the first round. So you're going to get a good team out automatically. Dallas can score. Can they defend well enough to go deep into the playoffs? So that's a question mark. A lot of people like San Jose, Anaheim, and the Kings to go deep because they're built for the playoffs. Nashville's been on the doorstep, you know, been knocking and say, hey, we're here now. But they haven't gotten deep. So, I don't know. It's a sleeper pick. You got to go with an underdog. And I just see too many good teams around now that you're not going to see that. A team that, say, sneaks, like Philadelphia. I just don't see Philadelphia going deep into the playoffs.
No, you don't see it, and it shouldn't happen, you know, being that they're going to be matched up against the number one team in the Washington Capitals. But they've played well against Washington, so sometimes you have to look at the way teams match up against teams. And, you know, the pressure is upon the Washington Capitals. They're expected to not only win that first round, but to go from there. You never know if Philadelphia gets a little bit of momentum. Mason's been playing really good in goal. They've been getting timely goals. Braden Schenn has done a great job. Wayne Simmons established a new career high. Gostisbehere back in the blue line. So, a little bit of momentum, a young hockey club, anything can happen. I think the Nashville Predators are a team that you kind of got to keep your eye on. I think the personnel changes that they made, the additions that they've added to their lineup, they've got a good goaltender in Pekka. They've got a couple of solid defenders in Yossi and Shea Weber back there. So this is a team that potentially could pose some trouble to some different teams. Matchups play a big difference. Like right off the bat, as Nick was just saying, that, you know, St. Louis and Chicago, one of those two teams that a lot of people would probably pick could win the Stanley Cup. One of them is going to be done in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Much like the California teams. Yep. If we play San Jose, a very good team is going to be out in the first round. Or if Anaheim plays San Jose, we can say the same thing. Kirk, who is the first player to score 100 points in an NHL season? It's not Gretzky.
Yeah, I don't have a clue, so I'm going to just take a wild guess. Gordie Howe.
Gordie Howe. No, never scored 100 points in his great career, and he played, what, 84 years?
What are the most games that he played in the year, though, when he was playing in his era? Did he?
70, maybe. 70, yeah, that's right. They didn't play nearly.
Break the schedule down a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. All right, we'll take a break. We're here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge at Staples Center. The Winnipeg Jets win it in a shootout to prevent the Kings from clinching the Pacific Division. Kings' last division championship was 25 years ago when they edged out Calgary. They won that division by 2 points. Again, the story is Anaheim wins tomorrow. They're the division champs. If they lose in any fashion, including overtime or shootout, the Kings will be the champs. We'll take a break. Back with more of your calls. Kings Talk, Talk Radio 790 KBC right after this.
If you had a radio show, Nick and Daryl would call you. So call Kings Talk now.
Call now.
800-ABC-KABC.
That's 800-222-5222.
It's Kings Talk with Nick and Daryl.
All right, back here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge at Staples Center. If you're at a home game, we'll be here during the playoffs after every home game. We'll have some shows on the road as well. Stop by. Say hello. Great food specials. The sliders are great. The potato gems are great. Or tater tots.
Tater tots. Tater tots. Whatever you want to call it.
Yep. 800-222-5222. Our first question, who is the first player to score 100 points in one NHL season? We have a gentleman here. Longtime Kings fan, Robert, I'm going to guess from Cleveland, right? That's,
yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
I have a good memory. How are you?
I'll ask my question first, and then I'll give the answer there to the question. This is a question I posed on Kings Insider. I was wondering, it seems like now whenever there's a big hit, like, you know, like the other day when Buffalo put a hit on Mark Stone,
yeah,
that hits like that seem to elicit much more readily like a violent reaction, like it just pretty much is just an automatic invitation for an altercation. And I'm wondering if it, like, it used to be like that all the time, like before people, like, you know, in maybe 20, 30 years ago, that players kind of like respected it more and just accepted it as part of the game, and whether or not there's less tolerance for it. And if there is less tolerance, I'm wondering if it's because of the fact that that concussions have come much more into focus.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I think there's more awareness, and certainly the league monitors any illegal hit to the head for whatever reason. Are there fewer of those type hits than there were 25, 30 years ago? Daryl, when you broke in some 35 years ago, how do you compare the hitting with what you see today? Is it more, are we seeing more clean checks today than we did when you first broke in?
Well, I think one thing now, just because of the size of the players and also the pace that the game is played at, some of the hits are looked upon as bad hits. You'll see a player going in the corner to get a puck, and a guy in his backside will be looking and he'll have an angle to take him into the corner. And at the last second, the puck carrier is making a turn. Now the contact is made. That guy's going either head first in towards the boards. He's putting himself in a vulnerable position. Everybody is blaming the guy on the backside of the play for making the hit, where we should really be blaming the guy taking the hit because he's the one to turn back into it. If you barely know what you're doing, how's the guy behind you going to know what you're doing? So the speed of the game and the size of the players, I think, has a factor to do with that. I think when you go back 70s, 80s, probably even early 90s, plays like that, maybe some guys would be a little bit more respectful. And you see a guy, you're looking at his back, you kind of guide him into the boards. You kind of wrap your arms around him, guide him in towards the boards. Players knew when they're going to make a hit. If you did make a big hit, you also knew the next shift or sometime through the course of the game, you're probably going to have to answer the bell. Somebody's coming after you. But it wasn't the cheap type of stuff that we're seeing now. You'd actually have to put your gloves down and get engaged in some type of battle. So I think that's a big difference.
And, Daryl, let me ask you this. The game has changed. It's a tighter checking game, lower scoring league. when the games were higher scoring, more wide open, were there fewer hits than we see on average?
Yeah and no. I think right now, because of the gap control by so many teams, there is so much more contact. I think with the game, some of the creativity has escaped from the game. The players back then were probably more mistakes made, but I think each and every element, each position of the game is coached so tightly right now that there's not a lot of room for error out there. Some of the things that you look at is hits. There's a lot more contact. I think everybody is now taking the body where, back a couple of, decades, you look at the offensive players, they weren't nearly as physical. You had some guys that were great two-way players, but I think sometimes now is being called upon to play defense, and you've got to get involved physically. So it's a little bit more of a demand on the body.
Yeah. Good question, Robert. Now the question we have for you, who was the first player to score 100 points in an NHL season?
Okay, it happened in Los Angeles in the early 70s. It was Phil Esposito who did it. He did it at the Forum.
You're right. It was actually 68-69 with the Boston Bruins, and that year he wound up with 126 points. Not sure. I don't think that was the year he had, 76?
76, yeah.
76, which just obliterated the record. Of course, pre-Gretzky. This is pre-Gretzky, pre-Mario Lemieux, pre-Brett Hull. But, yeah, it was Phil Esposito. So, Robert, congratulations. Give the Ice Crew ladies your address, and we'll get you Bailey's Best of Pop Chronopolis gift basket. All right, we've got our first winner for tonight. Let's hear it for Robert.
Let it go,
all right.
Robert.
Always good to see a longtime Kings fan being rewarded for his loyalty. Winners of our trivia question get Bailey's Best of Pop Chronopolis gift basket, filled with all of your game time favorites, such as world-famous caramel, cheddar cheese, cinnamon toast, and zebra. Each flavor handcrafted one batch at a time. Using only the finest and freshest ingredients, your basket will arrive directly to your home faster than a Tyler Toffoli slap shot. Be sure to visit popcornopolis.com for store locations and gifts for every budget.
We got some special guests here tonight. Let's put out a welcome to the Crown Club members. They're joining us here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. So a welcome to our Crown Club members here tonight as they came down to listen to our postgame show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we got a great crowd here tonight on this Saturday, the final game of the regular season. All right, let's get back to the phones. 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KBC. And while we're talking to Blair in Rancho Santa Margarita, we'll get another trivia question out. Hi, Blair. Okay, we lost Blair. How about Carlos in Redondo Beach? Carlos, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mr. Darrell. How are you doing, Darrell?
Good, thanks.
I was at the game tonight. I just wondered how, some of these refs missed a lot of calls. Towards the end of the third period, down, he got some tougher questions from me. And also that positive one in overtime was really, really bad. Do you think the refs will probably, swing the calls far and score those calls that they missed in the playoffs, you think?
Well, the Muzzin call was tough because it looked like Muzzin initiated the hold, and then the player he was holding wrapped his stick around Muzzin up high. And I only saw one replay. It looked like you could almost take your pick who's holding who.
Yep.
But I guess they gave the offensive player, the Jet player who was trying to chase down the puck, the benefit of the doubt right there. I don't have a problem with the officiating tonight. There are only three penalties in the game, right? Three.
Kings didn't have a power play.
Yeah. Yep. And, of course, in the playoffs, it's merit system. The referees that are rated the highest throughout the regular season get the assignments. Guys like Dan O'Halloran, Shane Heyer, they've worked a lot of Stanley Cup playoff games recently. To me, the officiating really had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Carlos, you ready for a question, my friend?
Oh, Carlos.
Yeah, go first.
Okay, here we go. Tyler Toffoli had 30 goals this year. He scored tonight. He had 31. Before him, the previous King player to score 30 goals was Anje Kopitar. All right?
Okay.
Who is the last 30-goal scorer for the Kings before Andrei Kopitar?
I am going to take a wild shot and say, I'm going to say Michael Camilleri.
Great guess. Incorrect, though, my friend. That would be one of my two guesses, but incorrect. Carlos, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-222-5222. Kings Talk at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. Mike in Torrance is next up on the show. How are you, Mike?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Super. Thank you.
Well, it was a disappointing night. I got to tell you, this is a good team. This is a real good team. They've done good by their standings and what they're doing, but there's just something I noticed about them, and it kind of showed up in the last 2 weeks. And it's just they don't have this other notch. You know, the teams that won a couple years back and even other teams in the league have this other notch where they go to. And for some reason, these guys, I don't know. I mean, they're good players at work. We don't have that one. I mean, we just don't have that one player this year that seems to really want to get up there and be that ultimate leader. You know, it's like Toffoli, it's time for him to do it. It's time for him to step up. You know, it's time for Carter. We know that Kopitar can do it, but we need someone here, you know, kind of like a Martinez a few years back that just said, yeah, it's going to be me. And I just don't see it. And tonight was kind of that snapshot of that. I was at the game, and it's just like these guys just stopped playing. And that's not what they didn't play, but they weren't aggressive. They should have knocked those guys' blocks off. And have that eye of the tiger where we're going to win this thing and we're marching into the playoffs. And I frankly just didn't see it. And it was pretty frustrating. And, you know, the caller earlier talked about people bad-mouthing. I don't think it's that. I'm just looking for, you know, some – and I hope some of these guys, these Kings, are listening to us. Because, guys, you need to step up and go. You're going to have to take this because there's a team screaming down the barrel who haven't won in the last few years, like, you know, San Jose or – Washington or Dallas. These guys are, even the Ducks, they're coming. They're coming looking for it. So I don't know what you guys think about that. I was pretty frustrated we didn't have one penalty tonight, and I think that was because the Kings didn't play like they needed to force a penalty. And that's the kind of thing I'm seeing with these guys. In the last few weeks, it's been like, gee, where's the fire? Where's the real killer instinct that's going to say, we're the guys? And maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm wrong altogether. I'd just like to hear you guys' comments on that because, we're really, you know, we've been lucky to have a couple of championships the last 5 years, but it's time. I just don't see this team having that killer instinct or that real thing that says, yeah, we're going to do it and we're going for it and we're the Kings and that's it. So, I don't know. Tell me what you guys think about that.
Well, we'll find out come playoff time because that's when the head coaches around the NHL are going to reward the players that step it up and cut back the ice time to the guys that aren't getting it done. And, you know, there have been some Kings players that are auditioning, Andy Andreoff, Jamie McBain. You can put Braden McNabb in that category. These are three players with absolutely zero NHL playoff experience, getting a good read on them. But I'll tell you this. I'm not worrying about the Kings competing come game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs because they have proven to not only me but you and all the other Kings fans that they know how to perform and be successful in the postseason. So, I mean, I know fans are disappointed when you leave a game and they lose, especially when you have a 3-0 lead. It is disappointing, but I think the big picture is Daryl Sutter has a pretty good idea right now what his lineup's going to be. I don't care if it's Nashville or San Jose. I think he has a pretty good idea what he wants to do because we've seen all kinds of different combinations up front. He's mixed and matched defensemen the last 2 or 3 weeks, and all this is for a purpose.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I understand the frustration. I mean, we're frustrated the way the game went tonight, but, you know, I think when you look at this team, a franchise best in wins this year, they had a real solid year, and after not making the postseason last year, first and foremost, their goal was to get into postseason play. They accomplished that a couple of weeks ago, becoming just the second team at that time, right behind the Washington Capitals, to secure a playoff spot. Natural tendencies, you just kind of mentally disengage for a little bit. Physically, your body is beat up. They basically played, 70-plus playoff games to that point to be able to achieve what they did. It's tough. It's a long year. the parity in the National Hockey League right now. There's no nights off for anybody. And, you know, the Kings know it. They know it themselves as a team that they've got to get themselves back in gear. And you look at, they played 8 games now in the last 15 days. They haven't had a lot of practice time. So this next few days, as they prepare for their first opponent in the first round of the playoffs, this will give them a time to be able to go through some of the repetitions, tie up some of the things in the defensive zone, tie up some of the things in the offensive zone, the special teams. You know, the Kings haven't scored a power play goal in 5 games, you know, but they've had a very good power play all year. So these are all just the little things that now the coaching staff, when you pick an opponent, this is where these guys really go to work. They dissect things, and they get to be able to make the alterations from game to game, and this is where the cream of the crop kind of rises to the top.
Mike, thanks for the call. I've got a question for you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, Toffoli, a 30-goal scorer this year. Before him, it was Andre Kopitar. Before Andre Kopitar, who was the previous King to get 30 or more goals in a season? Mike Camilleri is incorrect. Who is it?
Well, how about, I don't know, I'll just say Luke Robitaille for the sake of saying it.
Yeah, well, that's a good guess because Luke scored a ton of goals as a King. And I'm not sure, let's see, if Luke was still playing. I think Luke was retired by the time this particular person got 30. Thanks for the call, Mike. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs when they start next week. All right, 800-222-5222. Kings Talk on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Winnipeg rallies for a shootout win, 4-3. Toffoli finishes with 31 goals to lead the team. Tanner Pearson got a goal as 15th. Andy Andreoff is 8th. They announced the individual award winners this year. Drew Doughty, outstanding defenseman. Jay Kopitar was the MVP. Jonathan Quick was the best defensive player. Unsung hero, Trevor Lewis. Best newcomer, Milan Lucic. Most inspirational, Vinny LeCavalier. And we'll take a break. We'll be back with more of your calls. 800-222-5222. Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Why did Han Solo spit out the Wookiee? It was too chewy. Speaking of chewing the fat, call Nick and Daryl now. 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. It's King's Talk with Nick and Daryl.
A couple of post-game quotes from Andre Kopitar. We had the start that we wanted, and we just, for whatever reason, stopped playing. Obviously, we made a bunch of turnovers that resulted in their goals. So the start was good, but the second and third periods were not very good. From Paul Maurice, Winnipeg head coach, the defining change for us was that we started knocking things down in the neutral zone because we were in the right spot and skating and then countering back on that. And whenever he had the opportunity, he went with their big line, and it's been a great line down the stretch for Winnipeg with Mark Scheifele between Blake Wheeler and Nikolai Ehlers. This is a line that probably will start next year together. Ehlers was a rookie this year, Scheifele in his third year, and Blake Wheeler, the veteran. Wheeler winds up with 78 points to lead the Jets in scoring this year. Back to the phones we go, 800-222-5222. Alex was at the game. He's next up on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Hello.
I was at the game tonight, and I just, you know, it's the last, it's not just tonight's loss. It's the last probably 7-8 games that the Kings just, they seem to play a good period, then they give it up. They give up a lot of last-minute, two-minute goals in periods. And even though tonight's game meant very little in the big picture. They made the playoffs. They played the Ducks so well the other night, which was a pure Kings game of hard pressing. And then to come out tonight, get a 3-0 lead, and just give it up and just really play a subpar second and third periods. I mean, you know, you want to go into the playoffs on a high note, and I feel like they're going in off a low note, and I can't explain it. I mean, I just see them giving away a lot of pucks in the defensive end, and it leads to goals, and wow, I'm wondering if you think, you know, some of these guys are really going to be in there during the playoffs, like McBain and whoever else is on the back end.
We'll find out. Alec Martinez definitely will be in if he's healthy. He's missed 4 games now, but from what we understand, it's not a serious injury, so now he's got probably 5 days off to get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll see, but obviously come playoff time, you've got to bring it every shift, period by period, game to game. We'll see. But like we said earlier, this is a team where most of the people on the roster know exactly what it takes to get the job done, and we, I think, all have a lot of confidence. Alex, before Andrei Kopitar had 30 goals, who was the last King before him to score 30 in a season? Any idea?
I know Dustin Brown scored 30, but I don't know what year it was, but I'll say Dustin Brown.
Incorrect, but that's a great guess. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much. We're here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. We have this young gentleman. Hello there. What is your name?
Austin.
Austin, how are you?
Sorry?
Well, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
Okay, what's up?
I was wondering how the Kings are going to have to adjust their play for Nashville in the playoffs.
Well, especially if they play Nashville, a team they've never played before. Daryl, what do you see as maybe a strength of Nashville that the Kings will try to neutralize?
I think it's going to be the speed of the Nashville Predators. It starts with their defense. They've got some mobile defense. Roman Josi's had an outstanding year. Shea Weber's got the big shot back at the blue line. They do a great job. They've got balance throughout their lineup. So it's going to take all 20 players in a game for the Kings. But it's going to be the pace of the game, controlling that pace. They've got a good goaltender in Pekka. They got to find a way to get to him. The teams have played some really good games between each other. So I would expect that to be a very good series. I think the experience that the Kings have, and if they're able to have established that checking system that they play with, where they play their best, that's what it's going to take to win.
Okay, Austin, who was the last player before Andrei Kopitar to score 30 goals for the Kings?
Frolov,
that is right. He had 32 goals in 2008-2009. Give the ladies your address, and you win popcorn tonight as well. Way to go. All right, we are out of time. Thanks to the Ice Crew ladies for helping out, Keegan and Athena, Luis Segura, Jose Fernandez, John Traconis, Christian Collins at the controls. Playoffs are next at home, Nashville or San Jose. We'll find out tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Daryl Evans, Nick Nixon, have fun the next couple of days. We'll see you at Staples next week. Good night, everybody.